honored to introduce Sarah L. from the No More Excuses Group of NA in Baltimore, Maryland. Oh, yeah. I'm Sarah and I'm an addict. It is amazing to see all of these women here. First off, I love this. I've always, you know, I had one of those like secret wishes when I got clean and started coming to retreats to like do a women's wrap. And then this came up and I was asked to. And then, you know, a few weeks ago, I got the like confirmation and it's on willingness and humility. And I was like, shit, God is calling me out. And I had to like think about that. I had to like really like sit back and think about the moments in my life and kind of how they all work together. Like, let me tell you, there's a lot of moments that I was humbled to have the willingness, both in and out of recovery. You know, my story is probably similar to a lot of people. I grew up in a single parent household, felt very separate from my dad's family because we would only see them on the summers. So grew up without that like male figure that's supposed to be in your life. So constantly like seeking that throughout a lot of my relationships in my life, and like just seeking to not be abandoned was really what I was seeking for. You know, I was like this like goody two-shoes girl. I was driving here and saw this like little girl on the side of the road that was just calmly waiting for me to pass by, and she looked exactly like, I swear, like I looked like as a child, and it kind of freaked me out. But what I also noticed, that she was really quiet and she wasn't really like smiling, she was just waiting. And like, that's kind of how I was as a kid, because I didn't want to rock the boat. I wanted to keep the peace. And I knew that if, to keep the peace, one thing was be quiet, smile, and just kind of like be the clown as necessary. So if there was a way to make people laugh, I was going to do it. But I think like that was like more just within my family unit, whereas the being quiet and, you know, fake smiling was kind of throughout my childhood. At some point, I got to a point where I tried to end my life because I'd been depressed for a number of years, and that seemed like the solution. That kind of started, like I'd already started dabbling in using, but that made me hit the roller coaster of using. Like when I survived that, I was like, I'm a fuck up. I failed at suicide, but I'm glad now. I mean, that's okay. But like that really made me like take off in using and partying and like just doing whatever, because I was like, if I'm not gonna die that way, I'm gonna try to like live it up and do whatever the hell I wanna do. And in some odd, weird way, drugs also helped me find that voice and like helped me like be more of myself, is what I thought, even though it was drug induced. So I had to learn, like coming into recovery, how to be myself without that. And it's taken a long time, and it's still taking time, and I'm still working on it. But drugs just, you know, led me to going to college at a place where I knew I could get more drugs. Mm-hmm. You know, I was from a small town, and I knew Pittsburgh had more, and that I could keep selling, and I could keep using, and I could keep going to raves. And that was, like, my thing. I was a party user. I was going to use whatever was around me. So the only reason I never shot up is because it wasn't around me. Had it been, I probably would have done that. My brother was actually the first person I used with. And so that relationship has been a little, we're not as close as we used to be. He is not in recovery. He's found his own ability to like stay clean mostly and like do his thing, which is great, and like I appreciate that. It was a struggle when I came into recovery young, thinking, well, if he can do it, why can't I do it without NA? I couldn't. Just preview of that, I could not. You know, after one semester in college, I dropped out, tried to do the life thing of like working and partying. That didn't work out, so I was like, let me go back to college, but I'm gonna go somewhere that the drugs aren't as many except it's like one of the biggest party schools at the time, which was Indiana University of Pennsylvania, IUP.
Yes.
So really just like jumping from like drugs to the alcohol drug.
Mm-hmm.
And still using other things. It only took me like a week or two to find my people there because we attract them. We know. We know who our people are when we see them out there, and we know that they're going to help us get whatever we need. You know, I'm sure a lot of you have similar experiences in the sense that, like, I have a lot of blackout times, especially from drinking. Like, I don't know what happened. I'd end up places, even from partying, from raves. Like, I remember ending up at some person's house, and I really have no idea. And I was the driver. Like, have no idea how we got there. Like, that was just the story over and over, was like, how can I use to just forget? Mm-hmm. To forget and to, like, keep moving forward and to party and to have a good time. But what happened was I was using, and about every other time started to be really bad. Mm-hmm. Like, instead of happy Sarah, people were getting, like, Sarah in the corner crying, mm-hmm. having, like, a meltdown. And I didn't know it then, but like everybody around me was thinking like, this girl needs to stop like using. Whereas I'm thinking, well, I just need to find a different drug. Like obviously the drug I'm on isn't working and I need to find something different. Second suicide attempt. And I end up getting, like, God works in mysterious ways, a psychiatrist that actually like got it a little bit. And he said, you know, I think you need to do an outpatient drug and rehabilitation program, or I'm going to put you in an inpatient program. Mm. So I think you really need to get the drugs out of your system, and then you're probably not going to have as many problems as you have now. Mm-hmm. So let's work on that. And for some reason, that, like, the idea of doing outpatient, I was way more willing to do that than I was to do inpatient. Just because I was like, well, I already spent like 2 weeks in the hospital. Like, I don't want to spend another however many days there. But, so I did. I, like, you know, went to this outpatient place, signed up to do their program, which was like every day in the evening, Monday through Friday, and you had to go to 3 meetings a week. And he told me I'd probably be most comfortable in NA, which I didn't really, like, know that much about. So it was in 2001 when I found my way into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Originally, my clean date, I said, was May 5th of 2001. That was a lie. So it changed to May 22nd of 2001, like a year or two later. But recovery was like, I mean, you guys, if being a quiet person for the most part, like, it was kind of hard for me in the sense that I walked in and this was not what I expected. There was a lot of God talk, which really freaked me out, to be honest, because I had a very love-hate relationship with a higher power, and so it was a little weird. I was like, this guy's like a pharmacist and this girl does this and this person's this, and like, I'm in college and I don't understand like what this is, but I gotta get this paper signed. So that's what I'm gonna do. And I started going, and like what I heard was my pain, my emotions, my feelings. If I took the details out, that's what became important, was that these people were in pain just as much as I was, and that they'd found a way to not use and to not try to kill themselves. And that was like ultimately the goal that summer. Also to try to figure out how to use successfully so that when I went back to college, I'd be okay. That didn't happen. I never figured that part out. And then being like the goody two-shoes person that I am, when I saw there were these key tag things, I was like, I'm gonna earn every one of those. Like, I'm an overachiever. You give me little prizes, I am there. And like, so those first couple years of recovery for me, oh gosh, like being up here is so, it's like this warm, amazing blanket, but maybe cool in this moment because I'm like sweaty and hot. But you know, like this cuddly blanket and this place of like home, like this is home for me. You know, like, my husband always jokes, because I'm not nostalgic about anywhere, And I realized this weekend, like, this is my nostalgic place. I had, like, 3 months clean. And, of course, I don't listen to suggestions. I don't know that I even had a sponsor yet. So I came here with a guy who, like, packed me up in his truck and said, we're going to this retreat, and came here with a guy. I was really tired because, like, I'd been working all day. And so I didn't really see anything but the morning speaker on Sunday because we came on Saturday in the afternoon. And it was amazing, you know, like what this woman was sharing, I could relate to. Crazy, if any of you have been at this retreat before, you'll know. But like, so up where we used to have meals is actually where she spoke. So like we hadn't even moved out of that room. Like we were in the little room where we would have the cafeteria and she was up on the stage that's in there. And that kind of like those little moments started to inspire me and started to like put light that fire of willingness to like stay around and to stay in the program in me. Because of course that relationship didn't last. It wasn't really even a relationship. It was a fuck buddy. Like, that's the thing. And one of my, you know, a lot of people have mentioned one of our predecessors, Rich, this weekend. One of the things he always said was, get people's numbers, because when your eyes meet somebody else's eyes over the tables in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, and you guys just are all googly-eyed about each other, mm-hmm. and then something happens, you can pick up those numbers. Mm-hmm. And that's like, I didn't know. I knew, like, intellectually I knew that, but I didn't know that until like I ended up in my third psych center in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous clean. I started acting out on other behaviors because it's not just about the drugs, it's about a disease, and I have a messed up way of trying to handle things. I didn't know any healthy ways to handle things, and I did have a sponsor at that time, but I wasn't using her. But she came and visited me in the psych ward and said, like, we're going to work the steps on this too. Like, working the steps isn't just about the drugs. It's about working the steps on all of the other things that come up in your life too. And I started getting more serious, and I went to my first convention, the Tri-State Convention, and really got to know Rich better, actually, at that event. Then I kind of got pulled in with the service junkies, and they said, okay, we're going to this area thing. You're going to be the GSR. Let's go. And when I got to area, this one guy was like, hey, I'm the merchandising chair for the retreat. I really need a co-chair. You're going to be that with me. And the H&I person was like, I need somebody to help me out here. You're going to do that. And PI needed help. And like someone else said, you know, I took it all, like anything. I was willing because there was so much pain inside that I was willing to do anything to get rid of that. And like, thank God they did, you know. And at that time, like, I've heard other people mention it, like in Indiana, when I got clean, there were 3 women that were clean. One rarely came around. One came on Friday nights. And then the third one was my sponsor. And she kind of would go back and forth between AA and NA. And then she relapsed. So like, I would love to say that I've had one consistent sponsor the entire time I've been here, but that's just not the truth. You know, I've had, after her, I had this woman who actually had less clean time than me, but I respected what she had. And so I asked her to be my sponsor. And she left NA. And then I didn't have a sponsor until I actually in recovery moved. We'll get to that. And then I moved again and had a different sponsor, and now I have the sponsor I have now, which I've had for like a number of years, and she's amazing, and I have the best sponsor in the world, as everybody says, and the best home group. But kind of like, we only really like the women's part of our home group, just saying, because we're like one of those umbrella groups, but we are the best meeting, we'll say. So I got involved in service, and one of the issues, like, as I got more clean time, because there weren't a lot of women with clean time, people kind of started like looking up to me, and I kind of lost that humility part. You know, I did a lot of service. I became area chair for a brief time, and I was in a relationship, and for whatever reason, I mean, there's a gazillion reasons why, I relapsed at 2.5 years clean. And so I had to humble myself and go to area as the former area chair and say, I relapsed. And you guys are going to have to do this without me. Thank God Lance was the vice chair. It was easy for him to pick up. He knew what he was doing. But that was really humbling, you know? And like to walk into the rooms and pick up my key tag, the first person who hugged me was Rich. And he said he knew just by me walking in the rooms what had happened. You know, he was like that. He just knew. He knew things. Yeah. And after that, in another week, I used again because I had already thrown away 2.5 years. Why not throw away a week? Because I was also trying to figure out my significant other was in recovery. So he did what you're supposed to do, which is say, okay, we can't see each other. But then the hormones started working and we were like, okay, we can see each other. And then he found out further that not only had I relapsed, I cheated on him. And then we broke up for a while until he heard how awesome I am from some other girls at a meeting. And then he was like, maybe I'll call her. But we did eventually get back together. But for those like that crazy time period where I was like getting clean again, there was no pink cloud. So if this is your first time and you have a pink cloud, hold the fuck onto it. Mm. And don't let that go. And don't relapse. Because yes, it can be a spiritual awakening and it was the kick in the ass that I needed, but it doesn't have to be. And if you can hold on to what you have now, keep it. Because let me tell you, when I came back after giving up that time, that was like, I was like clawing my way back into being clean and being in recovery. Like I had lost what I knew, but I lost it in my heart and my soul. And I lost some spirituality that I had gained. And most of all, I lost love for myself. Because as soon as I pick up, that's over. Like, and I, that's what happened. I mean, like they, just like they said, as soon as I picked up that drink, I was ready to do whatever was offered. And luckily I was with someone who wasn't ready to do whatever was offered. So I didn't, but I probably would have, you know? Man, those were some dark days with me, my journal, and God. And that's what I did. I went to meetings, I came home, I was still in college. I wrote in my journal and I said just all kinds of stuff about like, you know, whatever you want, God, like, use me, I'm here, I get it, like, I'm, you know, that is not the life that I want. And actually, one of the people, when I went to a meeting not long after I got clean again, one of the old-timers came up to me after and said, so did you realize you're an addict? Yeah. And I said, yes, because I am not like my brother. I can't just pick up a drink and call it good. I'm not like the other 20, I don't know what I was, like 22, 23 year olds that were out there that could just successfully go drink and then go to bed and like not make people worry about her. No, I went out on a Sunday night, got myself smashed, made sure that nobody knew where I was because I turned off my cell phone, and immediately, like when I woke up the next day, like knew, like Sarah was on self-will. And part of that self-will, a lot of that self-will, was because I hadn't been working my steps. In area, I thought I was the shit. You know, I have never said this in an actual, like, open meeting, and only a couple people know, but I had actually, as the merchandise chair of area, given some shirts to people. And I felt that that was wrong, and knew that that was wrong. And so when I got clean again, one of my amends was to make sure that the area chair the next year got that check for those shirts that I had taken and given to other people, just because I wanted to be cool and give shit out. that was NA's money. That wasn't my money.
Yeah.
You know? But that hurts, like, knowing, like, I can never answer that question truthfully or honestly. Or actually, like, I can, but it eliminates me from a lot of different area positions. Not all of them. I can still serve. And I'm not going to do that today because that taught me a deep lesson. NA gave to me. I do not deserve to steal from it. NA has given me my life. NA has given me my recovery. NA has given me, like, so much. So my clean date is February 24th, 2004. So celebrated 17 years this past February.
Oh, that's great.
What's really weird is, like, moving in recovery. So that guy I cheated on, we got married. We waited a while. It was like 5 years before we got married. But we got married. And we moved so he could go to grad school. And I didn't know what the heck I was going to do after college. So I was just kind of like, sure, let's go to Harrisburg. And it was different because I went from being like kind of a big fish in a small pond to being a really little fish in a really big pond. And like, you know, I got a home group, I got a sponsor, like I said, but I never really clicked. Like, I was there for 8 years, and that was 8 years of like doggy paddling my recovery by coming here every year and by like staying somewhat connected to people in recovery and kind of working on steps. And then we moved again for jobs to Baltimore. And the first meeting we went to, when this girl, like, I think either I shared or my husband shared, I don't know, but when she found out where we were from, immediately she came up to us after the meeting and was like, oh my God, I'm from State College. Like, I gotta tell you all about the meetings here. And that's how every meeting was like down there, and I loved it. I love it still. I mean, like, everyone is so welcoming, and it kind of, like, on a bigger level reminded me of Indiana in a lot of senses, because nowhere is like where you got clean. Like, that place will always hold that special place in your heart, but like, Baltimore's become that second home for me in recovery. You know, like, I have had two different home groups and both have been amazing. I have had, you know, the sponsor that I have now. I actually was able to finish the steps. I've held commitments. I went back to area service, and one of the big things for me was being area chair and not relapsing. That was like a huge moment. As crazy as that sounds, like, most people be like, well, that makes sense. Like, that was huge for me. And that was like another one of those like moments where I was like, okay, I can feel like okay with myself again, like making those amends, kind of. So yeah, there were a lot of times I was humbled. There were some other relationships in there that did not go well, that had really ugly ends. Actually, only just one major one that had a really ugly end and really messed me up. You know, relationships kind of suck. Just gonna throw that out there. Befriend and love your sponsor like your sister, mother, whatever, and stick with the girls. I had to stick with some guys because they had more clean time, and they were safe guys. They were not like creepy guys. There were a couple creeps, but not the guys I hung out with. Just saying. So they are out there. If you're in an area that only has men, find the good men. And this past year, so like, you know, I feel really good. I'm in my home group. I celebrate my 16th year anniversary with my new sponsee who's celebrating her year. And then like a couple weeks later, COVID hits. And we like all scramble and go online and start doing things differently, working from home. You know, I've been told by many sponsors that no one person can be your everything. But when you're living with one person and you're not really supposed to be like physically interacting with a lot of other people and you haven't necessarily been like like you love your area, but you haven't been vulnerable in your area. They don't know all the crap, and they don't like, your life has been pretty solid, you think. I went a little nuts, and you know, did some things that brought up old triggers. Called my sponsor, because this, the Rooms of Recovery taught me the first thing you do when you feel like, well, for me, when I get to that point where I'm pretty sure I'm either gonna like run or kill myself, I called my sponsor. And I called my sponsor and I broke down and I told her what was going on and I told her how I felt. And she said, well, you need to have a conversation with your husband and you need to get to a meeting. And, you know, why don't we like think about how this applies to, this step applies to this. And I started like connecting more with my home group members, my female home group members that I could, and I like let them know. Because like sometimes when you have clean time, it's really hard to like show your ass. And it's really hard to like humble yourself and have humility and say, I messed up. I need help, and I need you guys to help me like get myself out of this hole that I've dug. And most of it was around my relationship with my husband, because he wasn't everything, because they're not, you know? And I started doing the things that recovery taught me, you know? Like I said, I called my sponsor, I made sure I was making meetings, I made sure that the people, the women in my life, knew what was going on with me and could talk to me and help me through it. I started therapy again. I know that's an outside issue, but it's tremendously helped me if you have a good therapist. And I started doing the things that I had stopped doing that I loved. And I don't know why I stopped them. I think like you get complacent, just like you get can get complacent in recovery, you can get complacent in life. And like things are like, it's just good enough. Until a world pandemic hits and then you're like, no, it's not really good enough. It's kind of crappy. And I'd really like more of your attention than you're giving me. But like the rooms of NA have taught me how to like have a meeting with my husband in a weird way. You know, like sometimes we would be going to like his family is big drinkers and we'd be going to their Christmas Eve party. We'd have a meeting in the car before we like got there. Or like when certain things in our life would happen, we would have a meeting. And we'd be camping, whatever. It'd be like, okay, I'm Brett, I'm an addict, I'm Sarah, I'm an addict. You know, and you talk about what was going on. And so like for the past year, we hadn't been having those. We've been having like fights and arguments and what have you. But I kept the women close to me. Like that's what I kept doing. I kept circling back to my group. And so like last week and a half ago, whatever it was, we actually got to the point where I think we had one of those meetings. We didn't like actually do it like that, but we were outside in the backyard, like let's get to the root of what's going on and let's try to figure this out and solve some things. Unfortunately, I was on my phone when he like came in storming into the house and said, fuck you, and gave me the finger. And I was like, hey, sponsor, I'll call you later. Like, that's kind of awkward. But, it, you know, that's life. Like, really, you guys are family. And if I can't, like, if my family can't see the actual dirty sides, like, here's the thing. From the outside, and this is probably that humility thing again, like from the outside most people are like, you're the like ideal couple, like blah blah blah, you're so good, we've been together for 19 years or I don't know, like 18 I guess, 18 something. I used to do it by my dog's birth date. That dog passed away and now I get confused. So it's like 18 years if that doesn't tell you something. And the thing is, like, even that time in recovery, like, we have problems. And as I work more on myself and uncover more through step work or through other things, therapy, whatever it happens to be, the more I love myself. And so, like, the girl that came into the rooms and accepted the guy that was still married, who couldn't commit to a relationship, so you were just a fuck buddy, is not going to accept certain things in her marriage today. And, like, that's important. So, like, part of me, when I saw the topic of humility and willingness, I was like, I think as women, there's a certain level of humility that we have to have, but I also feel like we have to have the willingness to stick up for ourselves. And we have to have the willingness to, like, be true to who we are, but have the humility when we're talking about it. Like, one of the things that I've tried to start instituting, and it took my therapist saying something to me, compassion. Like, when I talk to him, have compassion for the person that he is, but also have compassion for the person that I am, and the person that I've grown into, and the person that I want to become, because we're not those using junkies out on the street. Like, we're not people who are blacking out all the time anymore. We can love ourselves today. And that is what the steps give you. You know, like, for me, that is what they gave me. And I really like, when I'm asked to do something in recovery, like, why would I say no when that's the greatest gift that's ever been given to me? Like, I won't, you know? I mean, unless there's some crazy, like, something happened, I'm gonna be there, because recovery gave me love for myself and it gave me my life. I'm so grateful to see, like, when I came in on Friday night, and seeing, like, all the cars and all the people, because I wasn't sure, like, how many people are gonna show up for this, like, who knows? It was such a good feeling, and to see so many people who were like my age when I came in was also amazing, because you guys can get it now. Like, you know, having 17 years, I'm 40 years old, I have 17 years clean, and life is, other than the husband issue sometimes, like, life is fucking good, you know? Like, I've done the dream, like, the things that you, I've traveled, I've had a consistent job, I have a house with a white picket fence, which this list that I made one of the times that I was in, like, the psych center had that on it. I had having a dog on it. I have a dog. Meeting, like, there was this author I wanted to meet. I've met her. You know, like, it is so true that the things beyond your wildest dreams can happen, but they have, like, number one, we have to stay clean for it. Like, that's the big, like, step one. Stay clean. Thank you guys for letting me share. And
thank you. May I just ask you a long story?
Yeah, seriously.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks,
for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us. Can we please have the reading of Just for Today?
I'm Allie, I'm an addict.
Allie.
Hey, Allie.
Just for today, tell yourself. Just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I'll have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.
Thank you.
Can we have a nice way of closing if we just form a circle?